Well, my latest book is called The Fictional Woman, and it essentially focuses on the idea of the fictions that we tell about women and girls and the history, the historical context for that. So I discuss things like popular representations in literature and cinema, and I also discuss the experiences of women and girls in contemporary society. I discuss masculinity issues relating to boys and men also, but The Fictional Woman, obviously, it is focused particularly on issues that affect women and girls. And as you mentioned, child raising or being a child, in fact, but also issues of discrimination in the workplace, equal pay, domestic violence, violence against women, harassment, and also the historical context for the perspectives or ideas that we have about femininity. There's a lot to be said for the fact that we can all do more to stop perpetuating myths around femininity and masculinity for that matter as well. But there's no question that historically within our culture, men have tended to hold the institutional power. So we can't simply say women are responsible for the position that they have in society. It's more complicated than that. And I think we have all contributed. When it comes to issues like menopause, there's the fact that that plays into ideas of the worth of women, which was previously quite closely tied to fertility. And that is still present. There's a kind of cultural hangover. So although we see women now in more leadership positions, there are more women who are in the public eye and who wield power themselves. That is a fairly recent phenomenon. And we look at the history of our culture and find that that actually is something really from the last few decades. In terms of the numbers that we're seeing. But still, our cabinet in Australia is 100% white and 95% male. And that says a lot about the power structures in terms of gender, in terms of race, and also other issues I discuss in the book to do with ableism, discrimination against really different groups of people culturally, in terms of disability, gender, and race. And those things have a long historical context. They're not going to be solved overnight, but we certainly can't solve them if we don't acknowledge them head on, which is one of the things I attempt to do in The Fictional Woman. Unfortunately, we do still see a lot of the mainstream reflected in the other streams, if you will. So we have new media, which I think is enormously important and does provide new opportunities. But of course, it's still very heavily influenced by the mainstream. It takes effort, if you will, to move out of the stream, to swim in a different direction. So of course, none of us lives in a vacuum. And I am also influenced by the very things that I write about in The Fictional Woman in terms of notions of the ideal woman, the ideal man, how things should go. But the key, I think, is actually challenging those assumptions within ourselves and others, seeing alternatives and pursuing those alternatives with passion. So the internet and alternative forms of media allow us an opportunity to move in that direction. But unfortunately, it would be wrong to say that each of those online spaces is really different from the mainstream. In fact, many of the most successful online spaces mimic what we've seen in traditional media. So, there's a lot more work to be done. It's a slow process, but a really important one. And I think we should be heartened by how much change there has been, but remain determined to continue to change things.